Okay, we can get started.
Let's pray. Father, you give to us again. You've shown us grace this morning. You've raised us this morning from our beds and given us life and breath. Lord, we just pray that you would receive the honor and glory that you do this day as well as every day. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay, so now, this week, we're on Article 16. We're going to talk about regeneration's effect. What happens to us when we're brought from death to life in Christ. So if you want to turn to Article 16, kind of Dort, third and fourth main point of doctrine, Article 16. If you want to read along with me, Article 16. However, just as by the fall, humans did not cease to be human, endowed with intellect and will. And just as sin, which has spread through the whole human race, did not abolish the nature of the human race, but distorted and spiritually killed it, so also this divine grace of regeneration does not act in people as if they were blocks and stones, nor does it abolish the will and its properties, or coerce a reluctant will by force. Here's what it does. It spiritually revives, heals, reforms, and in a manner of once pleasing and powerful, bends it back, meaning our wills. As a result, a ready and sincere obedience of the Spirit now begins to prevail, where before the rebellion and resistance of the flesh were completely dominant. In this, the true and spiritual restoration and freedom of our will consists. Thus, if the marvelous maker of every good thing were not dealing with us, we would have no hope of getting up from our fall by our own free choice, by which we plunged ourselves into ruin when still standing upright. So, what does this mean for those who have new hearts to receive the things of God and embrace Jesus as Savior? Has our flesh totally died and we are now under the spell of God the Spirit? Meaning, once we receive the Spirit, we're robots. Of course, we're going to say no. But our desires have changed because of what God has done in the revelation of Jesus to us. I'm speaking here in the sense that the article sets up the argument that even in the fall, we still remain human and still reason and make decisions every minute of every hour of every day. Although we now know good and evil because of Adam's sin and our perpetuation of it, our wills have been distorted and spiritually killed, only doing evil all the time. So where do we come up with this? Scriptures, which I'm going to recite in a few minutes. These are the things you need to pay attention to, is the scriptures, not to me. Our perspective of life and of whom this life is about has gone from worshiping God, communing with Him as in the garden, to setting ourselves up as the ones who should be worshipped. Genesis 6:5 states this: "The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Following this verse, we read that Noah has found favor in God's eyes and was spared, he and his family. Of course, we know that after God spared him and his from the flood, it didn't take long for sin to once again ensnare them. Even as God's chosen means to preserve mankind, Noah was not turned into a robot to fulfill God's will. Scripture makes it clear, because of God's revelation to him, Noah built an ark and condemned the world. It's also obvious in how, after being spared, he quickly turned back to sin and defied what God desired of him. The first portion of this teaching on regeneration's effect speaks of how our wills are distorted and how we have been spiritually killed. The effects and impacts of sin are grievous and detrimental to mankind. Our thoughts and perspective on all things, on all mankind, has been changed. But still, we have the ability to reason, to have desires, to make decisions, with minds that God has given us. Although we reason, we are corrupt and perverted. Fast forward to the Apostle Paul, Romans 7:21 through 25. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being. But I see my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. Even after his Damascus Road experience, the famous apostle wrestled with sin just like you and I. We, as believers, we wrestle and fight because of the new life we have been given in Christ Jesus. Regeneration's effect has caused us, this is what it's caused us to do, regeneration's effect, seeing Jesus as he is, it's caused us to see our sin, and more than that, to see the one against whom our sin is directed. I thought Anthony kind of set me up last week with a sermon. And as Anthony mentioned last week, all we need to do to find out who or what we worship, this was great. It struck a chord in me and it hit home so well. Shame of you. I think pretty much everybody here would probably reply yes and amen. All we need to do to find out who or what we worship is to go stand at your bathroom sink and look up. Because of original sin, our hearts in the fall, and even still as believers, are bent towards setting ourselves up as the ones who should be worshipped. There's a constant struggle or wrestling with this for the believer, as long as we are in the flesh here on this earth. The unbeliever, the struggle or wrestling is non-existent. Why? Because they're spiritually dead. They have exchanged the truth for a lie, Romans 1. The suppression of truth of who God is and how he should be worshipped has placed man in a precarious, dark place which leads to death. For the ones who stay in a depraved state of their own undoing, there is an impending doom of God's wrath to face. Prior to new birth, or what we call here regeneration, this is all of mankind. This is all of us. This is where we were. All mankind is spiritually dead and needs to be brought to newness of life. Again, I'm going to read from Ephesians 2. We can't get past this scripture because this is God's word to us. And it explains how we've been brought to newness of life. Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 5. I know it seems redundant, but it's something that you're going to respond to someone, how you were born again, how you were regenerated. This is how it happened. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, by grace you have been saved. So when you think, and I'm going to be a little personal here, so think about this for a second. When I ask you this question, I want you to think back when you were made new, when God regenerated, when you were born again. When you think about the new life you had in Christ, meaning prior to your conversion, can you recall this heart change? Can you bring to mind things that you were apathetic to or opposed to, and see how God changed you? In my own life, I can give you example after example what God had done in me when he raised me to newness of life. I'm sure you could attest to the same fact that once you were born again, the things that you loved, you now hated. The things that you hated, you now love. Because we were all haters of God prior to his work in our hearts to see the beauty of Jesus Christ. My question to you all is, this is, do you still make decisions? Do your decisions always bring glory to God? Like I said, Anthony set me up last week. Anthony also mentioned last week's sermon that We all respond to everything all the time. We all respond to everything all the time. Are our responses always worship of God or ourselves? As believers, I would venture to say that there is some sort of combination of the two. The difference in the believer is that the turmoil within him wants to please God and worship him. You now, I'm going to continue to say this word, you now wrestle between the flesh and the spirit. For the unbeliever, I'm going to say it again, those still dead, they do not wrestle. They don't wrestle. They're dead. They enjoy their deadness. It's what you and I were until God regenerated us. He brought us to newness of life. He caused us to be born again. The unbeliever is at peace with his sin and could care less if it offends a holy God, and they are obstinate toward God. Prior to our conversion, we had no shame. We were just like what Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 6. Were they ashamed they committed abomination? No, they were not at all ashamed. They did not know how to blush. In some versions, it says they have forgotten how to blush. Proverbs 14:12 says, there's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. For the regenerate, for the born-again person, God saw to it that he or she would not be left in this state of denial. But God would give new hearts to his elect to come to an understanding of who he is and what he has done to secure their salvation. The new heart of the believer now has a larger view of God and the depth of his sin, albeit imperfect, longing to see God and bring glory to God because of the grace they have been shown in the face of Jesus Christ. Ezekiel 36:25-27, I've read this a few times as we've been going through this teaching, states this: I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleannesses, and from all your idols I will cleanse you. And I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh, and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and be careful to obey my rules. So as ones who are regenerate, who have new hearts, who have come to see more fully, even than Ezekiel, the culmination of how this would be fulfilled, we see how we are cleansed, how our hearts are changed, and how our desires to please him would come through washing of regeneration and the love and sacrifice of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Again, to piggyback on Anthony's sermon from last week, simply this: regeneration causes worship. Regeneration causes worship. And Anthony defined worship as this: a proper response to who he is, proper response to who God is. That's what happens in our hearts. We start to respond with a love and a care for what things God cares for. This is the effect of regeneration. This is how we are revived, being healed, and being reformed. This is how our wills are being bent back to please our Lord. We have been given sight to see Christ as the one who causes us, the one who causes us to be born again to a living hope. 1 Peter 3:3. We have been and are being revived by the living water, the Holy Spirit, who dwells within us to call to mind the beauty of our Savior, pointing us back to Jesus as the only means of our hope, of our joy, of our peace, and our rest. We are continually being reformed by the hearing and the proclamation of the gospel. This is how spiritual restoration of the will comes about, and our wills now long to please him. As Chris mentioned last week when he was leading worship, in Isaiah 6, in a sense, our eyes have been opened to see the Lord as he is. Holy, holy, holy. We respond as ones who were lost, rejoicing as those whom God has found. And cleansed, not by the coal touching the lips, but by the precious blood of Jesus, who takes away the sins of the world. And more particular, taking away and bearing your sin and my sin. Your heart and your affections are changed because of this very sight. The things you once loved, as I stated earlier, Now, hey, the things you never considered are in the forefront of your mind always in all things, being given a way of escape when temptation knocks at your door. Where do you go? You run to the cross, and you're reminded of the sacrifice of your Savior, of my Savior. Consider from whence you came. We were as the Gentiles in Ephesians 2 again. Later on in the chapter, Ephesians 2, 11 through 13 reads, "Therefore, remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision, by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands, remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise." Here's where we were. "Having no hope and without God in the world. But now, because of this regeneration, by this being born again, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. We all have a will prior to being born again," as I stated earlier. It was only focused on our desires, and our desires lead to death, meaning separation from God. Thank God he has given us new desires through a heart transplant, through the sight of the gospel of Jesus the Christ. You no longer oppose God, but long to please him as a loving son or daughter longs to please his parent. The emphasis of this article is on that of regeneration's effect by the Spirit's work, which causes us to strive for holiness because of our affections. Because our affections have been changed, always looking to God as our righteousness. I have a little plaque that I made, and it's on my porch, and it reminds me daily when I sit out there. It simply says, "The Lord is our righteousness." Of course, I picked it up from Scripture, Jeremiah 23, verses 5 and 6. "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell securely. And this is the name by which he will be called. The Lord is our righteousness." If it were up to us to choose to believe and follow Jesus, to remain pure, even after regeneration, we are hopeless. The argument of this article is against those of whom would say that they, in and of their own will, chose to believe in Jesus, and are sanctifying themselves through a rigid obedience to what the law demands. This article states, if the marvelous maker of every good thing were not dealing with us, we would have no hope of getting up from our fall by our own free choice. It said this, by which we plunged ourselves into ruin when still standing upright. Contrast this hopeless state with what we sing here, on occasion at Body of Christ. There's a fountain. Just one brief verse. One line, I should say. "There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunged," notice the wording, "plunged beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains." Article 16 is using wording to dramatically express our bent towards sin. He says, again, I'm going to remind you, by which we plunged ourselves into ruin by our own free choice. We dove headlong into our sin, and apart from grace, would continue to do so. Again, contrast this to the work of God in regeneration. We are sinners, in this hymn, who are plunged beneath the flood, of the blood of Jesus' veins. In this hymn, William Cowper, it is God who plunges us beneath the flood. This plunging comes upon us or is done to us. It is passive. There is nothing we are doing. We are being plunged beneath the flood. We also sing another song called "All I Have is Christ." It says this, "I had no hope that you would own a rebel to your will. And if you had not loved me first, I would refuse you still." All of this is to say, it's as simple as this. It really is this, it's this simple. I'll get it in a second. Regeneration's effect, Anthony stated last week, it's worship. Regeneration's effect is worship. Your eyes and your hearts have been opened to see a beautiful Savior. And your response, what you do, how you live your life, the things that are in the forefront of your mind now are always being funneled through, or they should be, work that Christ has done on your behalf. And you see this beautiful Savior. You want to do what pleases Him. Philippians 2:13 states this, "For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for His good pleasure." Romans 12:1-3 says this, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." So as ones who are regenerate, you respond in gratitude with a new heart and desires that you have been given and received by the mercies of God. So it's been given to you and you received it all because of the mercies of God. Spurgeon has this little simple quote that I use all the time because it's short and succinct. And that's how I like to deal with things, short and succinct. "Dead men don't wrestle. Dead men don't wrestle. You've been made alive in Christ Jesus if in fact you are His. So you are wrestling and you will continue to wrestle from this day forward till we're one day with Him in glory." But prior to that conversion, you didn't care. You were apathetic. I had no hope that you would own a rebel to your will. "If you had not loved me first, I would refuse you still." Kane, can you do me a favor? We have time. Can you read Galatians chapter 2, verses 15 through 20? Yeah, Galatians 2, verses 15 through 20. This is like I love the change of mind that the Apostle Paul has in this. And this is his new life. This is his regeneration's effect in his life. Please.
"We ourselves are Jews by birth and not Gentiles. Yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus, in order to be justified by faith in Christ, and not by works of the law, because by works of the law no one will be justified. But if in our endeavor to be justified in Christ, we too were found to be sinners, is Christ then a servant of sin? Certainly not. For if I rebuild what I tore down, I prove myself to be a transgressor. For through the law I died to the law, so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me."
That's the effect of regeneration. You can look at the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 33. There are different portions of it we can look to, and it gives a ton of scriptures that talk about practical things in regeneration, what happens with regeneration, where we go with regeneration. But I just thought, as Anthony spoke last week, regeneration's effect is worship. It boils down to this. As I stated a few minutes ago, I'm simple. I like concise things that boil everything down so knucklehead like me can understand it. So the effect of regeneration, the effect of this newness of life that you have, is worship. To worship the one who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Any questions or comments? Anything to add to that?
John, how can we view the Ethiopian eunuch in light of what we know to be true about Scripture?
I think that's a heart. I think that's good, Chuck, because it's a heart of worship. He saw the Messiah in the Scripture. What did he do? What's preventing me from being baptized? I want to associate myself. I want to run to this.
to be saved.
He responded rightly.
He responded rightly. That was his response. It's worship.
What was he doing before that? He was seeking, but he needed the spiritual guidance.
He needed to hear the gospel.
He needed the gospel.
He would be in his situation. See, I like that example because I personalized it to me.
Yeah.
I always was seeking. I can't remember when I wasn't, but until I knew the actual gospel truth, I was still lost. However, it doesn't mean I wasn't saved. That means God's timing was perfect. And even though the seed was there and the walls were written on our heart, we know the difference between right and wrong. There's that battle. There's always that battle when you were in high school.
Yep.
And you're with a group of kids, and then we knocked the mailbox over, and we blew up the trash cans for cherry bombs.
I didn't do that, but anyway.
You know, you're the guy in the group saying we shouldn't be doing this. I'm going home.
Can I tell you that story, Chuck?
Let me finish. So what I'm saying is the seed is always there sometimes, and it's not always that Paul big bang theory.
Well, I would say that God had worked in me. He has brought me from, I was dead. I was spiritually dead. So was everyone here. That's what the Bible says. I mean, I just read passages. So we're spiritually, we're dead. There's a common grace that goes out to all, right?
We're not talking about that. We're talking about...
But I'm saying knowing right from wrong before, everybody knows. Right. They have a basis of right from wrong.
Yes.
But usually it's what's going to happen to them if they're caught. That's usually
the question. As you said earlier, where there's no remorse for those who don't have the law's worth on
their
heart.
There's no remorse.
They don't have that battle. You have that battle. You don't understand it. The Ethiopian eunuch was seeking. He just didn't have the understanding. He didn't get the means until that point. What am I reading? What I'm saying is with everyone, it's slightly different. It's not that big bang theory that we discussed.
So I think what we say is there's a moment of regeneration for everybody. Yes, it's a moment. Yes. And before that moment of regeneration, God may use. I know. I was almost going to stop and say, let me just make a point here that the effect of regeneration, it doesn't have to look like, I know on October 13th, 1972, that was regeneration. I can see the effect instantly. Right. Sometimes we see a progression, but we can say this. There was a time in my life in which everything I did, even if it was good, it wasn't a response to a great Savior. So it wasn't worship, and it wasn't the effect of regeneration, but now it is.
And that's what I'm getting at, because the Ethiopian eunuch was seeking.
He was dead.
He was asking someone to explain to him. He was asked to explain. Explain this to me. So the gospel opened his eyes, right? The explanation of it.
I didn't want to get into
it.
I'm sorry, I had it sounded better, but what I'm getting at, thank you, Anthony and John, what I'm getting at is that there are those, it's for everyone it is different. I was always seeking. I would sit down with the priest. I knew something was wrong. I wasn't getting what I needed. So that, you go to the Methodist church where I met him at the meeting, it's like, you're like, okay, he unpacks it, but there's more. I'm missing something. I want this. What is it? And it's like, I don't have that big bang theory, but like the Ethiopian eunuch, and I know I must be talking at least one other person in here.
Many people don't have a moment.
Yeah.
Many people.
Yeah. And there's also, you keep saying using the word like you're seeking. I would say God is drawing you.
Yeah.
In my own personal story,
like,
in some fashion, God let me go through some things in my life to break me down, to humble me, so I could see fulfillment brought in Stephen, in Christ. Stephen.
Yeah. I think the last paragraph really, moved me. The idea that if the motherland made out every good thing,
yes,
while not dealing with us, there will be no hope. That's the hope is God in the background of me thinking I'm pursuing my ways was working in my heart.
Yes, it is. To repeat what Stephen says, if God did not work in our hearts, to paraphrase, we would be without hope. So.
And then when you finally get to the right direction, it's like, exactly what I was
looking for.
Well, it's
Ethiopian eunuch.
Sanctified him with truth.
When it was explained to him, that's what I wanted to unpack, and I didn't.
It's God who draws us. It's God who opens our hearts, and in some sort of fashion, that's what He does. Everybody here has a different story.
Oh, I was hoping Jerry and James jumped in, but they didn't. But they have something similar that would have bolstered this too.
I think it really is simple as this, Chuck. What I said, regeneration. The effect of regeneration is worship. That's the whole point of this, is that we don't bring anything to it. And we're not robots in the sense where we still live our lives. We still make decisions every day. But our new hearts respond in worship. We want to do what God desires of us. As Romans 12 says, it's by the mercies of God. We're seeing the mercy of God put on display, as the first how many chapters of Romans points out our sin. And we see this mercy and we respond to this mercy and say, help me to see you more, Lord. That's the gospel. That's why we talk about the law and the gospel here weekly. Stephen.
Yeah, Glenn, it's funny now. God gave us a free will, and using our free will, we plunged ourselves into that. Why do we want it back? When we got it back, we see our way all the way to the end. That means, given our free will, we could go back there again to the beginners of God.
Right.
So it's not like you're
hopeful. Who wants it? Right. Who would want to go back to that life? I mean, I think of my own personal life. The older I get, and I'm almost like the Pharisees ready to stone the woman, because I'm in a place where, well, I got more sin than y'all, because I'm getting older, and I was old as Jim there, but but it just said my sin is more prevalent, so I've got to continually run back to the means of grace, right, to see the beauty of Jesus Christ in all of this, because. I know my sin, and my sin is ever before me. Against you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight. So, anything else? We're all good? All right, let's pray. Father, you are so good to us, Lord. Lord, we do pray that this new life that you've given us would result in worship, Lord, that we would long to do as you ask us to do in Ephesians 4 and Ephesians 5, to love our wives, to love our husbands, to honor mothers and fathers, Lord. But we want this desire to come from our new hearts, Lord. We do it because we love you and you have loved us first. Lord, just grant us this grace to see this always. In Christ's name, amen.